we do have a week with us this week, and it's called Dementia Action Week. I thought we'd get Sarah in from Caledonia Dementia Care. We spoke to her last year, and particularly we thought we'd talk about a few things about dementia and what you can try and do to put the risk off. So first of all, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me back.
Not a problem. Great. Now, I've got to say to you, I was reading in the paper today, and obviously there are a few dementia stories in the paper this week because of the week it was. A lot of people listening today, and I certainly was until I spoke to you last time, thought it was more of an old people's disease. You know, they get in their 80s and 90s and all this sort of stuff. I had one of my bosses who's actually struggling at the moment and probably coming towards the end of it, was diagnosed at about 62. But in today's paper, there's a story about a couple of twins at about 16. So are they finding that it's becoming a younger disease, or is it just being diagnosed more? Or do you know why all of a sudden it seems to be going into the younger age group?
There's a couple of answers to that. Dementia is an umbrella term that covers a whole lot of different diseases.
Right.
And the thing in common that the diseases have is that they all cause memory loss, deterioration, inability to, you know, continue living your life the way you would want to.
Yep.
There are some childhood dementias, which there's a different organisation called the Childhood Dementia Initiative who advocate for those. But children can be diagnosed in their sort of 5, 6, 7 year old and then deteriorate and pass away sort of any age from sort of 9 to 12 to 20 is the life expectancy. There's young onset dementia, which is anyone who's not a child but diagnosed under the age of 65.
Yep.
And then the older age dementias, which we're much more used to talking about, which are diagnosed over the age of 65.
Yep.
And people are more likely to be in their, like you said, 70s and 80s.
So let's just go back to the younger ones. Well, we know there's no cure for dementia currently, is there? So it's not a case of it takes a lot like with an older person, or we'll talk about now, it obviously deteriorates fairly quickly over a period of a few years. Does it go slower in the younger age group? We're talking, say, 16, 20-year-olds. Is it a slower-acting disease, or is it just the same?
It depends what the disease is that's causing the dementia.
Right.
And I'm certainly not an expert of any of the childhood dementias at all.
No.
I could find that information out for anyone who's interested.
Yep.
We deal with mainly people in their 40s, 50s, 60s with young onset dementia.
Yep.
And people over 65 in their late 60s, 70s, 80s with the older age dementia.
Right. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. I know you're going to tell me you can't answer it because you're not a doctor, but also in the paper today, they're saying that I think in America they're trialling some drugs that they're starting to feel as though they might have some effect. Have you heard anything about that at all?
Yes, and there is a drug which has been approved here in Australia which can reverse some of the effects of Alzheimer's disease specifically.
Yep.
It has not yet been approved on the PBS, so it is outrageously expensive at this point.
Is it?
And it needs some infrastructure around it because it is administered intravenously under the care of a neurologist and a team of doctors, and it has to be repeated every 6 years, and it's a course of several weeks of treatment. So as they set up the infrastructure, they'll fight to get that on the PBS.
So I guess what you're saying is that it's not... I mean, a few years ago, everybody thought it was just hopeless. But you're starting to see maybe a slight glimmer on the horizon?
Absolutely. This is the very first drug that has actually not just helped people to live with the changes in their brains, but has reversed some of those changes in the brain. And again, not an expert, but...
I knew you'd tell me that.
Can certainly find out more for anyone who's interested.
I know. I just thought, having read it today, I thought, well, while you're here, we should ask you about it. So I guess No, I've got to take a quick break. So I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and we want to talk about, because I know you can't cure it, there's no cure, but there must be ways to reduce the risk.
Absolutely.
So I'll just take this break and we'll be back.
Have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by. Them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh. Them with your youth, they see the truth before they can die. Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh.
I'm talking to Sarah from Caledonia Dementia Care. Blimey, I can't get my tongue around that. Sarah, now, at the moment there is no real cure. We know that, but there is maybe some hope in the future. But how can people reduce risks? And if you're going to talk about isolation, that's one of the things I preach on this show nearly every week, about how dangerous isolation is.
Absolutely. And staying connected is one of the risk-reducing things you can do to stave off a dementia later in life.
Yep.
Anything that looks after your heart and your physical self will also help to reduce your risk for getting dementia.
It doesn't have to be huge stuff. You don't have to be at the gym every day. You can just walk for an hour or something too, can't you?
Absolutely. So reducing smoking, not drinking excessive alcohol, doing something physical every day, like you said, walking, lowering your obesity, so perhaps losing a little bit of weight, and making sure your doctor looks after your cholesterol levels if need be. All of those things are risk factors for dementia later in life. Absolutely. There are some new risk factors. Getting your eyes and ears checked. So if you're short-sighted or having vision problems, untreated vision problems can lead to a dementia later in life. Untreated hearing problems.
Sure.
Yes, so get your vision seen to, get your hearing seen to. High blood pressure and diabetes, obviously, because they're not good for us.
Yep.
And depression. We just had Are You Okay Day. It is okay to seek some help for depression, because an untreated depression may also lead to a dementia later in life.
gee, there's some, there are a number of, because a lot of people sort of think that a dementia, once it's, that's almost the end, isn't it? So, but there are things that you can do through your life. And is it too late to lose weight? And is it too late to have your hearing tested?
It's never too late.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
It's never too late. It's better if we live a healthy life all our lives.
Yep.
But, you know, if we hit 50 or 60 and decide to hit the gym or go for a walk or improve our lifestyle, that's definitely going to help you in all sorts of ways, not just dementia, but to lead a healthier and active ageing process, I guess.
Well, and the problem is, and I know we're talking to a lot of retirees on this show because that's probably the people that are sitting at home today listening to us, and we were talking to Gary before from Pobus and Lyons, and you know, and I talked to U3A and that's all about getting people up and out, because we're probably the most connected generation we have been with iPads, iPhones and that, but you can waste a lot of time and really not interact much on those sorts of devices.
Absolutely. And look, they keep us busy and they're tools, I guess, to lead to connection. You can look up what's local or connect with people electronically first, but it's that face-to-face, that true social connection that makes the difference.
And the problem with your iPhones and the iPads, very often you're just playing games.
Yeah.
Or looking up Facebook about people telling you exactly what they've had for dinner and all that sort of stuff. That's, you can't call that being connected.
No, I don't enjoy looking at photos of other people's lunch.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back, because I believe we've had a couple of events and we want to see what events are coming up for this week. Michael Jackson with an updated version of Rockin' Robin. We play the earlier versions quite a number of times on Sunday night. And of course, I'll be here Sunday night between 6 and 8 with the Rock and Roll Hit Parade. Anyway, we're talking to Sarah. Right, Sarah, you've had a couple of events for this week. Have you got, tell us a little bit about those and what you've got planned for the rest of the week, please.
So we had a terrific event at Yarra Rangers Council Monday night. Right. We're in a partnership with Yarra Rangers Council and a four-year partnership grant to for the project, the Dementia Friendly Yarra Rangers.
Right.
And one of the events was a an event at council on Monday night. We had myself speaking, but I was the boring bit. We then heard.
Don't say that.
We then heard from Michael, a carer caring for his wife who has young onset dementia. And he told the story of, you know, they're both police officers and she'd started having trouble in her very high-ranking job, diagnosed as PTSD and then later on as young-onset dementia. Mm. And we also heard from Colin, who is a member of our Consumer Voice Committee, himself diagnosed with dementia.
Yep.
And he told us some stories about finding out he had dementia, his family turning up to his house with name badges on and saying, "Hello, Dad, my name is, you know, John," or yep, whatever, and gave us a good laugh saying that he, you know, used to be a high-ranking manager and now wasn't allowed to go to the supermarket on his own. He had some fantastic stories that really resonated, I think, with the people in the room.
Gee, that's terrific. So it was Monday night, yep.
Yesterday I was down at council again talking to their staff in their lunch break, lunch room. We released a video specific for Yarra Rangers Council staff, helping them on the front line to perhaps identify people who come to them with confusion or maybe repeating questions,
yep,
giving them some resources and some numbers to ring to refer people to. Should they come across some people with dementia in the community?
Yep. So is there anything else coming up for the rest of the week?
I'm here today.
Yeah,
and
I'm glad you are.
Tomorrow I'm in Mount Evelyn at Evelyn Ridge Retirement Village having a chat to the residents over there,
right,
about dementia and some of the stories that we've dug up this week.
Yep.
And yeah, that's it. And we've had a wonderful Facebook campaign done by one of our brilliant staff, Shani, has done some great photos. And they're showcasing across the week in our Facebook campaign.
Now, when you've got people that are suffering, and that's really sad, but very often you just talked about the policeman. Very often it falls to those people, particularly in the early years, to support their loved one. So what sort of facilities are available for those people? Because, I mean, unlike some sicknesses where, you know, you've got to make sure they get their tablets and, you know, they can function certain during the day and that, but with a carer, because I mean, I share the secret, my mother had it, admittedly she was an older lady, but for Dad it was 24/7. Mm. I mean, she'd wake him up in the middle of the night and want to do stuff, you know, and he had, so, I mean, some of these carers, we undersell what they do.
Absolutely. And you were talking about connection before.
Yep.
Being a carer for somebody living with dementia can be incredibly isolating, particularly if you've had to give up your job or your social life or it is restricting you in other ways.
Well, let's just stop that a minute and explore that a little bit more, because, A, once a person has, particularly once they get more severe, then they can't take them out much at all, can they? It's very, very difficult for the carer to take them out. So, therefore, what you're saying is that therefore the carer becomes isolated as well.
Yeah, and it does depend what stage of dementia people have and perhaps what behaviours manifest with that.
Yep.
Most people can go out and about, but it does restrict a carer in that they've got to think about where they're going.
Yep.
They may no longer be welcome at social functions at some places, or they may feel it's not appropriate anymore, which isolates them.
Yep.
And I guess carers become isolated because they can't pursue their own social events, having to provide that 24/7 care to somebody else.
Yep. So what support is available for those carers?
So we aim to reduce some of that isolation by providing carer support groups and our carer support program.
Yep.
We have a dedicated carer support worker, Leanne, who will talk to carers one-to-one if that's what they need to get some support or just vent about, you know, what's going on. But we run a general carer support group once a month that runs in Lilydale at the community house. We have guest speakers. Carers can come in and share their caring experiences. We have a men's carer support group. We know that men don't like to sit round in a circle and care and share.
Yep.
They're much more shoulder to shoulder and let's solve some problems.
Yep.
So we have a pub lunch run by or facilitated by our program manager, Daniel, who goes out with the blokes and answers any questions.
So when they have these groups, mm-hmm. do they take along the person they're caring for?
No. This is solely for the carers. If they need respite, so if they need someone to look after the person they're caring for, we can provide that.
I was
going to
ask that.
So they can access it.
Because in some of these instances, you can't just walk away and leave them, can you?
That's right. So we provide that respite, whether they come to one of our groups just as a one-off while their partner goes off for lunch, or we will liaise with some of the agencies to ensure they've got respite at home.
Oh, that's great because, I mean, it must be devastating, first of all, to get the diagnosis and then all of a sudden your life's on hold for a number of years. It's not 3 months or something until someone gets better.
No, that's right.
I mean, it's years. In my mother's case, I think it was nearly 9 years.
Yes.
Now, admittedly, the last 3 or 4, she got so bad she had to go into a home or into care, but for the 4 years before, there was nothing my father could do.
No.
And he couldn't even go and shop because he could have come home and found the house burnt down, to be honest.
Yep. There are a lot of supports and services available to people, but, of course, it's finding them. It's navigating your way through. Mm. Yarra Rangers Council has aged care navigators. Caledonia can certainly help you with questions and point you in the right direction. And My Aged Care, if you're over 65, you can always call their helpline or go online and look at their website.
Because that's very important because apart from while they want to do as much as they can for the person or their loved one, you can't kill the person doing it.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, in a lot of cases, and I suspect in the younger ones, when you're talking about younger dementia, then some of those people are going to have to try and live a life after something happens to their loved one too.
Yes. Yep.
You know.
It's devastating to those plans we all have for the golden years, you know. We'll work really hard until we're 65, 67, whatever it might be, and then we're going to relax. Those plans are thwarted because of a diagnosis, and it could be a diagnosis of anything. It could be a stroke, it could be cancer, but with dementia, those plans go down the drain, unfortunately.
Mm. And therefore it reflects on the carer.
Mm. Yes, we have to look after the carers.
Absolutely. Take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Works a 12-hour day, sun up till sundown. He's doing what he can to make the wheels go round. In the shed or down the track, he knows how to bend his back. He's the salt of the earth, he's got a heart of gold. He's a member of the Outback Club. You don't back down and you don't give up. He's living in the land he loves. Born and raised, he's a member of the Outback Club. With the blokes, she's a match for any man alive when she works them all. Before the job is done, there's another just begun. A kind of woman any man be proud of. She's a member of the Outback Club. She don't back down and she don't give up. Feel
members of the Outback Club. They don't back down and they don't give up. They're all living in the land they love. Born and raised, they're members of the Outback Club. We're all members of the Outback Club. We don't back down and we don't give up. We're all living in the land we love. Born and raised, we're all members of the Outback Club.
Sarah, this interview is not about me or about my family, but I just want to ask you that when my mother was diagnosed, and I've said earlier that my father kept her home probably too long because it really affected his own thing, but one of the things that resounded with him was that he felt guilty that he couldn't look after her any longer. Do you find that happens with other carers as well?
Absolutely. We go into relationships saying, till death do us part.
Yeah.
Often early in relationships, people will say, I promise never to put you in a nursing home. We just don't know what's coming up. But yep. Look, I say to carers, please don't feel guilty, even though it's natural.
Yep.
But if you die, if we kill you because of the stress of caring,
yep.
Who's going to advocate for the person that you're caring for?
That's a good point.
Once they're in care, you can go back to being the partner, visit regularly. You don't have to do any of that heavy lifting or, you know, you're sharing the care with nursing staff yep. who are qualified and have chosen to do that as a career.
Yeah, because that was something that certainly happened with my father, because my sister and I really had to push the point because he said, no, I've got to look after. And we said, well, we can't look after mum if you die.
Yeah.
And he'd had two or three heart attacks. And we said, well, if that happens,
yep.
Where's it going to go? She's yeah. going to have to go in a home then.
And you're not abandoning someone. No. We're not qualified to do that. And we pass that care on to yeah. those staff who have it as a vocation, who love what they do.
Yeah. And they're better trained than what you and I are.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so you are there other support groups apart from the Caledonia Dementia Care? I keep getting messed up on that.
The Caledonia is a local orchid.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll help you say it.
I don't know.
The Caledonia orchid.
I don't know why I mess up, but anyway.
We do have some other support groups.
Yeah.
So there's people caring for someone with young onset dementia, so any yep. dementia that isn't the childhood dementias but diagnosed yep. under 65.
Yep.
Their issues and their challenges are very different, so they come together in an online support group once a month, but they also gather for lunch once a month as well, and we've got a growing number of people with young onset dementia
is
accessing
there?
Our programs. And we also have, we've just started up an evening program for people who are working during the day or tied up in their own caring duties, whether it be with children or older people during the day. So come together with a cup of coffee or a glass of wine at 7 o'clock in the evening. And we've had a really good response. That's run 3 or 4 times now. Any of those support groups are open to anyone who is caring for somebody living with dementia. You don't have to have someone accessing our programs for the carer to access these programs.
Now, that's actually brought up another point, which I hadn't even thought about, because I suppose I'm thinking in the older age group as well. But apart from the carer having to, if you're talking about younger age onset, there's very often that the family is still living at home, aren't they? So that the carer's got to not only look after their loved one, they've also got to look after other members of family.
Yeah, yeah, it's really challenging. So there might be school age kids still at home, both partners still working, a mortgage on the house. The challenges for somebody who's diagnosed with dementia in their 40s or 50s are huge.
I got to be honest, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, and, you know, financial challenges as well. Yeah. When you're diagnosed in older age, usually you're in your retirement, your finances are sorted,
yep.
but at that younger age, still paying mortgages and debts and school fees, and it has a huge impact on families.
I actually had not thought of that. All right, we're going to take one more quick break, and then Sarah's going to give you some contact details and how you can find out more about what's going on. One of the things that I'd like you to comment on is that carers shouldn't suffer alone. That if they're feeling overwhelmed, pardon me, or if they think there's a problem, they shouldn't be ashamed. Like, it's not their fault. They need to get a diagnosis for the person, their loved one, don't they? And then do something about it, and don't feel as though you've got to suffer this, go through this by yourself.
Absolutely, and you've just hit on the theme for Dementia Action Week, which is nobody can do it alone. A lot of people in the first stages of dementia want to hide the symptoms, or they're ashamed of them. Dementia's one disease where people are afraid of losing themselves, and I think they hide it. Even if people are reluctant to get diagnosed, I think carers and partners need to reach out to get assistance with those early stages of getting a diagnosis. Yep. And then stay in contact with other carers. You can get so much from talking to a professional, but just hearing the stories and sharing with other carers lets you know you're not the only person on that island.
It's very easy, I would have thought, to think nobody else is going through this. But I guess, and it's one of the things we taught, and I've spoken to a couple of cancer support groups, and nobody can tell the other person better than somebody who's going through it and says, oh, yeah, that happened to me, or that's what I'm going through. So that's got to be better than a professional saying, oh, you'll be all right, or this is how to go, isn't
it? Most definitely. And look, we're there to provide information, to find out information that people need to know, but it's that interaction between carers, services used, things found out, lessons learned, and the sharing. You know, people do get cross, people do get angry, people do cry. Sharing that with others who are going through exactly the same thing can be so supportive.
Right. Give us some contact details, please, Sarah.
So if you want to give us a call, the number's 9727-2222.
9727-2222.
That's right. If you'd like to shoot us an email, it's Caledenia, which is Caledenia at caledenia.com.au.
So it's Caledenia at Caledenia.
Yes.
.com.au.
That's right, yes. Yep. Our website's the same, so that's just caledenia.com.au. You can look us up on Facebook, or that's probably all. We're on Instagram, but we don't do a lot there.
Oh, well, I guess the people that are looking for you, if they've got Facebook, they go on the webpage, or they can phone on 9727-2222. That should just about cover them.
You can even drop in, if you like, at 11 Hill Edge Lane in Moorabbin.
Sounds good to me. We've still got a few minutes to go before we need to call it quits, because I need to be out of here 5 to 3, and I should mention Greg Carrick will be on with the Oz Indie Show 3 to 5. Always their songs that have been released in this last week, so you can't get any newer than that. Most of them will never be played on commercial radio, because commercial radio doesn't do that sort of stuff. So he'll be here between 3 and 5, as he is every week. What would you like to say, first of all, to anybody who has just been diagnosed with dementia, and also the carers? Because they've got to be two different messages.
So to someone who's just been diagnosed with dementia, I'd like to say that there are ways you can live well with dementia, that you are the same person you were before you got the diagnosis. We're not putting you in a box and saying life's over now. And please reach out to services. And if it's not Caledenia, then to Dementia Australia or one of the other amazing services that are around. It's never too early to start accessing services and finding out what's out there.
Yep. And for the carers.
Same thing. Reach out. Please don't be embarrassed. Call us, call Dementia Australia. There are ways we can support you in the early days with education, with resources. We can make the journey a little bit smoother, and also help you know what to expect in your caring journey.
Sarah, let me ask you this, and again, I know you're not a doctor. How do people... Well, now let me think this through. Is it the carers that normally pick up that there's a problem, or is it the person themselves who think there's something wrong here?
It depends. The answer is always it depends. So people will notice they are having trouble with their own memory.
Yep. But then I don't want to frighten everyone, because we all forget where we put the car keys.
Yep.
We all forget stuff. Yep. And so how does the person know that this is getting serious?
It's when it's constant and ongoing. You might lose your car keys, but when you go back and you see them sitting on the bench and you can't remember putting them there, that might be when there's an issue. Sometimes dementia will damage our insight first off. So those folk may not have any insight into the fact that they are losing access to memories.
Yep.
that's a little bit more difficult for carers to convince someone to go and get a diagnosis. But some people definitely notice that they are declining. They're declining at work or having trouble remembering more than the usual, you know, keys and sunglasses. Yep. But go get a diagnosis. The first
we all do that.
We do.
We all forget where we put the car keys. But someone once said to me, it may have even been you, someone said that it's not, there's not a major problem if you forget the car keys. The major problem is if you forget you own a car.
That would be a big problem, yes.
So is it, but it, I know that sounds a bit silly, but is that sort of how you define it? That.
That's a very basic way of looking at it, yes.
Yep.
But there's a lot of new with anything. There's a lot of nuances in between those two stages.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, are you saying that forgetting the car is well down the track?
Yes.
So a person would have gone through a whole lot of other stages before they get.
If you get home and your hands are full, and the cat tries to escape, and there's a postman trying to deliver a package, and you put your keys down on the front step, take everything inside, collect the cat. Try and look for your keys. Once you see them on the front doorstep, you go, oh, that's right. The postman was there and the cat escaped. Yeah. Right. If you have a dementia, you may very well look at those keys and go, well, I don't remember putting them there, because you haven't formed that short-term memory of the cat and the door and the postman.
Yep.
So you haven't laid down that memory. So it's not even forgetting. It's being unable to form the memory.
Yeah. And somebody once told me that people in a house that you'll find that someone's put the milk in a cupboard or sugar in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of it?
Yes. So not recognising where objects go or their uses can be something in the moderate to advanced stages of dementia.
Yeah, that's not good. All right. Look, it's time for us to go. As I said, Greg Carrick will be here with straight after 3 o'clock news. I'm going to play a song by Johnny Chester. Now, I know a lot of people, I know Johnny Chester actually, but he's out of the 60s, but this is a song that he has released in, 2017, which is a bit unusual. It was an Oz indie, so it's a great Johnny Chester and long distance lover. Sarah, it's been great to have you. It's not a subject that delights any of us, but I mean, one of the major things is too, we want to get people to get out and stay connected and get connected, and also too, for the people out there that are going to be diagnosed or the carers, that they should go and get not feel too bad about it. Let's do something about it.
Absolutely, reach out anytime.
Thank you for your time, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.